Today FM's Rove and Sam.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I've been wrapped with having Snooze as our sponsor, Sam.
You've been in such a good mood as well.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm getting a decent night's sleep now.
And they can help take out the stress from having to guess what type of bed best suits your needs.
Oh, and how many times do I have to say it? I like it when I don't have to think.
The great thing about Snooze is that they sell a wide range of quality mattresses, bases and headboards.
You said headboards.
How old are you?
Emotionally or physically?
Let's roll the podcast.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
This is something we're going to do
Look,
tomorrow.
Rove's on TV. Okay, Rove's on TV, guys. He's on the Today Show.
I did a thing for the Today Show. I'm handing it out at the moment. I'm not going to lie. Did a bit for Channel 9. They've been doing a look back at 60 years of TV. Done that.
Look how handsome you are. Are you kidding? Mate, I'd be happy with that.
Oh, my fate is broken. That's Ooh, the
that
TV.
That sounds like the... Oh. Wow, we're getting a bad digi picture.
Yeah.
And then, got the project tonight.
Yeah, fun.
And then I'm doing something else for Channel 10 on Friday.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I think mine slipped through yesterday.
And then you got another what?
I reckon I got one slipping through
and
yesterday.
And you got a what? What was
I
last
I got a little F-word.
You did not.
I think I did.
Stop trying to slip this in, guys.
But no, not but like Sam does, which she does say, and then you go, it was one of those. Another shout out to Carlita for a fantastic Jamie pick,
photos,
as always.
Thanks, Carlita.
Hashtag chitchat, hashtag Jamie the button pusher.
What was the other thing you said after the project?
I got another thing for Channel 10 to do tomorrow. Look, part of me doesn't care to whether I should keep it secret or not, but then there's another part of me is like, I don't know. I probably should. I don't know if they've said what it is.
Right.
Nothing major. Just doing a thing.
Popping
just doing
your
a thing.
Heading.
Yeah, doing something like that.
Sure.
Thumb over the shoulder. Well, there you go.
Thank
I was going to say, yesterday's show.
Egg everywhere.
Now, with the new edits, look, I'm with you guys. I really appreciate, Jamie, what you were doing. Let me make that very, very clear.
Sure.
It hits me when you go, Luke McGregor's the first thing that we play. Yeah. But that makes sense because it's a strong bit. But mad props for keeping in the prize read stuff up.
Of course I've got to keep that in.
I listened to that twice.
What prize read stuff up?
Remember how... I didn't have... You explain, Jamie.
Sorry. So we get a prize sheet.
Oh, yeah.
And we had, I think it was, a voucher or something.
So let me run through how it works. Like right now I've got one in front of me that I didn't read out today. I'm sure I'll hear about it. Beyonce, it says Beyonce dance class announcement in capital letters. Then it has one credit per day, which is how many you have to do. There's another one above it that says Keith Urban giveaway. Two credits a day plus one reference to you and three friends. So that's kind of how it works. And then you have a little bit of text that'll say, here's what we're doing. Here's the bit you have to read. Like this is the highlighted bit. Mm. That is almost word perfect. Trust me, I've sometimes tried to have fun with it. Yeah. Hey, they don't like fun. And then there's bullet points underneath that basically say, here's what it entails if you want a bit more information.
Yeah.
So yesterday, without having really looked at what the prize thing was, they said, we got a Bridget Jones thing. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Don't worry about it. We're chatting away with Luke. I picked it up and went to read it straight thinking, Bridget Jones baby tickets giveaway. It'll be tickets to the movie. I'll just say out now in cinemas. And then, no, it's like a huge gift pack. And I completely read it wrong. And it was a funny bit.
Oh, you can go have like dinner or whatever it was. It's like, that sounds good. We should do that.
So I was like, I'm going to read this properly and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back. Guys, big announcement. I just read the prize sheet. Here's what it actually is.
I had to leave that in. That was so good.
Good on you, J-Dog. Hashtag Jamie the button pusher. Hashtag chitty chat. Let's get him coming. Have you spilt breakfast everywhere?
Keep talking.
Okay, here's a bit we're going to do tomorrow, but as always, you hear it in the chitty chat first because that's where the good shit happens before anywhere
tomorrow?
Else. I want to let you have a workout whinge.
Guys!
Jamie's been doing it.
Yeah.
You've been doing it. I got one myself today. Hit me. Hit me.
Guys, I sneezed this morning and my abs hurt.
What?
Do you want to know why my abs hurt? Because I've been going to the gym, guys. My body's transforming. Muscle memory, get back into me. Look at his guns. Are you kidding?
Because
look
at that. Look at the little kitty muscles. They're good though. There's good tone. There's great tone.
Every time I do this to either like my brothers or my
boyfriend,
they always laugh at me.
You're doing right now the little kid muscle, where what you do is
Shut up, Rose.
You don't hold it out. You bring the arm all the way in.
Oh, look at my muscles, guys.
Just like that muscles. Bottom fat like just pushes up, make it look a little
That's what we call footy photo. Did you ever do
Have you seen that ad like the weeping spot and like he's trying to press the girl and he pushes the bicep up?
Don't be jealous because I'm looking ripped. Don't be jealous.
I'm jealous.
That's true.
Something good to look at.
You got good. You're getting, and you got little lats. Do you do, which is the little muscle underneath your armpit?
These ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. These ones.
It's like
I
a push. That's a chest press.
Shoulder press, chest press. Whatever.
I do the rope thing.
All the presses, the rope thing.
You're milking a cow. She's milking a giant cow.
I'm just killing it, guys. And I deserve to brag about it because it's really hard to get back into the gym. It's so hard. My body went floppy and gross. I've still got a long way to go.
Have you felt it? Have you felt it down in your sensitive area where you had your operation slash procedure?
Oh, actually, to be honest, a little.
You couldn't be squatting yet.
A little baby bit.
Do you lunge?
I went for a massive walk with my sister, huge walk, and I could feel it was a little bit not quite right. But then I thought maybe I'm just imagining it in my head. No. But I just thought, you know what, I'm going to take it easy on that area.
I'm starting to feel like if I run, like I can actually feel that point where you go. Oh man, here we go. As an older person, I accept it. Feels good. My knees are starting to go. Don't do that. Walk it. I get on a rower. Love me a bit of row your boat.
It's good.
Row.
Put on a little bit of R&S chitty chat.
See ya.
Row. Have a chuckle. Rewind the skip 30 seconds, 15 seconds button.
Relive that little moment. That was a good second time around.
That's what I'm going to do, actually.
Gift that keeps on giving.
I was pissed off when I went to the gym yesterday. I'm not going to say why.
I reckon we'll be able to say why tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I reckon so too.
Okay. And let me point out, this isn't the, do you remember where you were from yesterday? If you listened to the Chitty Chat yesterday. And I can't remember what song I have to sing when it happens, but there's a song I have to sing.
Do you remember where you were?
Oh, because I'm singing about my thing. Gonna sing when I sing about my thing.
That's it.
Keep an ear out for when I sing about my thing.
I reckon we're going to be very pissed off tomorrow, guys.
I reckon we'll have calmed, and I reckon we will address the situation on the Chitty Chat.
Yeah, we're
going to
be fine.
But just with a way of just kind of going, look, it's all fine, but here's why it was nearly not going to be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I don't think there'll be rage. Yeah, I don't reckon there'll be rage.
They wouldn't f***ing want to.
Oh, my God.
I don't give a shit.
Oh, my God.
Very aggressive. Hit that big red button the Carlita drew in your drawing. The massive every time Seth swears button. In all honesty, how do you not swear more on air? Because when you get fired up, it must take every fibre of your being to not let it rip.
When we had lazy bastards on today, I wanted to go, mate, you absolute...
I was ready for it. I'm going to.
I'm just letting you know. I get worked up. Actually, it's one of the biggest things all my friends... What are you laughing at?
The change of tone?
I'm just enjoying this whole thing. I listened to yesterday's Chitty Chat, and the three of us having our little chuckles, and you two with your little back and forwards.
Guys, a lot of my friends always say, they're like, mate, when you get fired up, when you get a little bit passionate, they're like, I don't know how you don't swear. Sometimes I drop the C-bomb, guys. I'm just going to say.
Oh, my God. We had a new person in today. You did not care a jot.
Who the f*** were they?
Here's the significantly edited bit. Rogan Sam. Now, we got sent around a little Q&A. There was an article going around that it's very easy to have a psychopath.
Oh, God. Jamie.
Working in your building. So, the Australian Psychology Society Congress in Australia revealed that one in five corporate workers may be a psychopath, which they say is the same amount as a prison population. So, naturally, we look around going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which one is it? Which one of you is it?
Exactly. But mind you, they use the term successful psychopath. Traits include a lack of empathy or remorse, egocentric, charming and superficial.
Sure.
That doesn't describe anyone.
That describes...
Or does it?
I don't know. So what happened is, Sam, you and I sat down and filled out the questionnaire. And it's stuff like, are you prone to getting angry very easily?
It basically says, do you like having a good time? Yes. Oh, apparently that means you're a psychopath.
So, I'll give my score first.
Oh, I think it's fair to say where I sat on the fence.
I don't know. I don't know what it's a score out of. I assume like it's 100%.
I don't know.
You are 100% psychopath?
What did you get?
I got 25.
What does it actually say? 25?
It says your score indicates that you might have some psychopathic personality traits, but you don't need to seek any help from a mental health professional or discuss your condition further.
You don't?
I don't.
You don't need to?
No, at 25. Well, it's 25. That's like, I'm not even a quarter psychopath. So 25, score to beat, Sam. Where do you sit?
I got 30 bloody nine.
39.
39. I'm not a psycho. Do I? Stop, Jamie.
Put the knife down. Sam, put the knife down.
I like having a good time and I like killing cats. Is that so goddamn hard to believe?
What was your little note, though? Did they give you...
My note says, your score indicates that you might have psychopathic personality traits and need to seek help from a mental health professional to discuss further your condition. I already see a psychologist. I'm supposed to not get this score.
My favourite part is that Sam has got her result and she was like, she started swearing at the computer, which was not a good sign.
Did I unladylike drop a C-bomb? Maybe.
Now, looking around the room, I can see five people. There's you, me, Sam. There's our executive producer, Alexandra Spurway. There's Jamie the Button Pusher, and then someone else. And I reckon this is our number five. I reckon this is our one in five. Jeez. Sonia, our new producer.
Hey, guys.
You're serial killer psycho.
She was telling us a story this morning. She killed a rabbit with her bare
hands. What kind of person kills a rabbit?
That's it.
It was
fatal attraction stuff, that is.
I was 8 years old at the time.
They always are.
My parents bought me this little bunny and I was so excited that I refused to let the thing like eat or put it down because I was like in love with it. And my parents are like, give us the damn bunny. And I lost my shit over it and was like, no, it's my bunny. Anyway, they eventually got it off me and the poor thing was so panicked it had died.
So you've been carrying around a dead rabbit for days. Sonia.
What was worse? The fact that you killed it or just kept it dead?
How
did you not know it was dead, you psycho?
Yeah, it's really bad.
And then her parents are like, you killed a rabbit! You killed a rabbit!
They did. They didn't lie to me. They were like, you killed it. What's wrong with you?
Can't change your mind. Can you not babysit Ruby this weekend? Yeah.
Rove and Sam.
Sam, this is just one of those, here's a bit of dumb fun.
Oh, I love a bit of dumb fun.
Who loves a streak? Who loves a streak?
Me.
Do you love a streak? You would have streaked.
Oh, mate, I love a little bit. Hey, don't mind me if I've had a couple of ciders, jumping in the pool.
Hey, if you've streaked before, 13, 10, 60.
At a sports thing, but, you know, at a public beach. Mate, who cares? I don't care.
I've done a bit of... When I was a kid, I was mad for a streak. My daughter, mad for a streak. She loves, what do we call it? It's just, there's basically usually before the bath.
Yeah.
She feels that as soon as she gets her kid off, there's something about a little kid. They just get so excited. And she runs around the house she's breaking the law. Oh. So I have to chase her going, call the cops. There's a nude baby in the house.
I love it.
To the point now where now she's older and can speak, that's what she does. She runs and she goes, call the cops, call the cops.
That's really cute.
So when she's 22 and doing it and yelling to people, call the cops, we're going to get in trouble.
You're going to get in a lot of trouble.
But there was an NFL game that was being played a couple of days ago, and it was a very boring game. The score was 21-0. Not much going on until a streaker took the field. Which in itself is not that exciting.
Yeah.
But the commentator, with one exciting thing to actually talk about, stepped up and gave some of the greatest commentary I think you will ever hear.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
Now, I'm going to call it. I think I want competitive streaking. If that's the commentary you can get for a streaker on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that. Half-time changing sides. You wouldn't know which team was yours based on, you know.
Or you just get tattoos for your side.
You wear a little bandana on your arm or something.
Yeah, sure.
Or get one team of blondes, one team of redheads. Look, we're just helping people out here.
Rove and Sam.
I have a quest for questions.
Questions with...
interesting people with interesting stories to tell, Sam.
That's right. We've spoken to a trans woman before, mm-hmm. a private investigator, mm-hmm. anyone who's got a brilliant story that we would love to hear.
Now, when you think brilliant stories, to me, this is it.
Yeah.
Back in 2009, you had a plane takes off from LaGuardia Airport in New York City. Mere seconds into takeoff, they fly through a flock of geese. They get caught up in the engines. Very tragic ending for the geese, sure. But then both engines, boom, they're gone, exploding. We now have a plane in midair that has become a glider. There is no option to land safely in either the airport that they have taken off from or one that's across the other side of the river, the Hudson River in New York in New Jersey. So what does the pilot do? Only thing you can think of, there's the Hudson River. I'm going to take this plane and land it in the water. And he managed to pull it off. Everybody walks away unscathed. An incredible story. And we're about to talk to... it's now being turned into a motion picture with Tom Hanks.
Exactly right.
But we are now joined on the line by the man who landed that plane. Sully, good morning.
Hello, down under.
I feel it's a little too informal and too personal to just call you Sully.
I think the whole world knows me as Sully, but if you insist, then Captain Sully would be a little bit more formal. How about that?
Captain Sully.
Sully is such a handy nickname for someone whose given name is Chesley.
Now, is it still to this day such an incredible thought to think how a simple 200 seconds could have changed your life so impactfully?
Oh, that it would have been simple. But no, never in 100 normal lifetimes would I have expected any of these things to have happened. I'm so grateful for what many were able to accomplish that day and that every life was saved in such a short period of time under such extreme conditions.
Now, straight away, I think one of the reasons why everyone loves you is such a hero. You say we. You are the one who you've taken off, geese smash into the plane, things go horribly wrong, and you're the one who brings that baby down and everybody's safe. But the fact that you are sharing the love says to me, this is what an incredible individual you are.
It's such an incredible story, and you truly are a hero. But was there ever a moment where you thought, oh, wow, we're not going to survive?
No, I never thought I was going to die that day, even though this was such a novel and unanticipated event, one that we'd never specifically trained for. In fact, in our airline flight simulators, at least at the time, it was not possible to practice a water landing. The only training we'd ever gotten for a water landing was a theoretical classroom discussion. But I was confident that I could find a way to take what I did know, adapt it, and very quickly apply it in a new way to solve this novel problem that we'd never seen before. So I was confident that if I could do that and deliver the airplane to the surface intact, it would float long enough for us to be rescued, and that's what happened.
I have seen footage of other planes that have tried to land on the water. There was a terrible ending to an Ethiopian flight that did not end well when trying to make a water landing. What I feel most people feel is like the passengers on board, they know something's wrong. Some can see that there is fire, there is smoke. The only thing any of them hear is you buttoning on saying, brace for landing, in that voice.
Brace for impact.
Brace for impact. Afterwards, this is actually what some of the actual passengers had to say about you and the experience.
If you want to talk to a hero, get a hold of him because that's the hero in this whole deal.
You know what? We have a second chance in life. This pilot, and if this guy doesn't get the recognition he needs, is the reason my daughter, my 2.5-year-old, has a dad, and my wife still has a husband.
Now, has it brought you and those passengers together? Like, do you have a personal connection with them now?
Absolutely, yes. As you can probably only imagine, having gone through such a traumatic event together, we have become bonded. And I said at the time, and I've said since, I think we will be joined in our hearts and our minds forever because of what we shared that day.
Now, of course, it is a major motion picture. You are Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks is me. Tom and I actually talked about the fact that we'd be kind of conflated for a while, for some period of time.
Now, is this one of those things when we all get to say, hey, if they could make a movie of your life, who would you want it to be? Did you get sign off on this? Are you like, line them up? Clint Eastwood, too old. The guy who was in Whiplash. Yeah, he kind of looks like me, but he's too violent throwing cymbals. I want Tom Hanks.
You have to realize that when one gives someone the right to tell their life story, that you hand them the keys and you watch them drive off with it. It's a leap of faith, but you know it's in great hands. It is a dream team. Tom was on the top of almost everyone's list. He seems to be our generation's every man. And of course, he's played real people. When Tom came to the house and spent several hours with me, we talked about that responsibility that he feels to get this right, because he said at some point after the movie has been out for a while, I'll go back to living my life, and he wants to make sure he didn't screw it up for me.
So when it's all wrapped up, you can walk up to him, take your captain's wings back, and say, no, I am the captain now. Hey, nice one.
And I found it fascinating. I saw an interview where you were asked to go back 7 years. Okay, what pen did you have in your pocket? And how do you even remember that detail? I mean, I don't even know what pen I used yesterday.
You have to realize what an important event this was and how much of it is burned into my psyche. I did work with the filmmakers about all the logistical ways that they have to make a movie. I mean, all the little details that have to go into costumes and the set design and the aerial sequences. And so they picked my brains, every craft from sound to wardrobe to everything in between, to figure out, you know, how to do it.
That mustache really accuracy.
I asked him about that. I said, why? I mean, surely the kind of pen I had or the watch I wore or the rings I had didn't matter. And they say, actually, it do, especially in the IMAX format when you see all these details so clearly. You can see my Air Force Academy ring, and it says class of 73 on the side. You can see what my ID badge looked like and the fact that my pilot union badge is behind it. And they said, we have to make it some way. They might as well make it the right way.
That's true. That's very true. Now, despite all the accuracy, there is a lot of controversy about the fact that the end of the film has an investigation into how you handled the landing that wasn't accurate to what actually happened, and that in some respects it ends on a sour note. Was that something that you were unhappy about or had any say in, having seen the movie go to air? And would you have preferred it to end a different way?
I did not have creative control, but I am happy with the film. I'm no filmmaker. I'll leave it to the filmmakers to describe their process, but obviously they had to make many important choices about how to compress an investigation that took almost a year and a half into a film that lasts 96 minutes, and in the film it's a few days.
And you and your co-pilot went back to LaGuardia and completed the flight to Carolina. Was that the moment that finally gave you closure?
I think there were many moments that, in aggregate, finally helped us to achieve closure. We were all feeling the effects of it in the immediate aftermath, post-traumatic stress, and just the sheer magnitude of this event. But I think for me personally, and I think for many others, they helped work themselves through this and process it, and the critical insight that I had several months in was that I had to make this event a part of me and not allow it to continue to be something simply that had happened to me. And once I could make that a part of the life experience that I could incorporate into my psyche, then it became easier to deal with all of it and put it in perspective.
Well, the movie is out now, starring Tom Hanks, not you whatsoever, but it is his story, and what a story. Captain Sully, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
It's great being with you. Thanks.
Rogan Sam.
Sam, Pauline Hanson, she's back in Parliament with her maiden speech, not her first time, but as you know, being back in power. She made a speech yesterday, and she made a very bold claim.
If you are not prepared to become Australian and give this country your undivided loyalty, obey our laws, respect our culture and way of life, then I suggest you go back where you came from. If it would be any help, I will take you to the airport and wave you goodbye with some sincere best wishes.
She's delightful. She should write greeting cards.
Hallmark, look out.
Now, at the risk of taking things out of context and construing them into something that doesn't actually factually make sense, so kind of what Pauline does.
Absolutely.
I have decided that I'm just going to take this at face value. Right. For whatever reason, all I hear is Pauline Hanson is willing to take people to the airport. Because that's the takeaway from this. So, like many people, I need to get to the airport today.
Yeah, right.
I've got to get down to Melbourne to do the project tonight.
Fantastic.
So I put the call out. If you're like me and you need to get a lift to the airport to ring in, we'd get a bunch of callers and we'll pass the message on to Pauline Hanson that, hey, we're in for it if you are.
Oh, fantastic.
No matter what your background, we all need lifts to the airport. It's the one great equaliser on this planet, Sam. No matter what you believe, no matter what your background, the colour of your skin, your religion, everybody needs to get to the airport.
I know. And especially with traffic and Ubers, they cost a bloody fortune.
So if anything, Pauline Hanson's actually uniting us.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. So anyway, I'm going to give the One Nation office a call. I don't know if anyone's there, but if not, I'll leave a message. Let's see how we go.
You have reached Pauline Hanson's One Nation. Our office hours are from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Please leave your name, message and contact number and we will get back to you as soon as possible.
Hi, One Nation. It's Rove McManus here. I used to do a TV show where once we killed Pauline. That was a bit of a joke. Dropped a mirror ball on her head. Everyone was quite amused. But I just work on the radio now. We just heard Pauline yesterday extending this invitation.
If it would be any help, I will take you to the airport and wave you goodbye with some sincere best wishes.
And, look, I have to be on the project tonight on Channel 10 in Melbourne, so I was just wondering if she could come and pick me up sort of after the show, about 10:15 at the latest. And I've just got a couple of friends here as well.
Hi, Pauline. I heard that you're picking people up to go to the airport, so I'll be waiting at around 2 p.m, so I can't wait to see you.
Hey, Pauline. It's James. I am off to the Gold Coast this afternoon, so I'd really appreciate it if you could give me a lift. Thank you.
Hi, Pauline. It's Belinda. I have a flight tonight. Do you mind if I get a lift with you and eat halal in the back seat? I'm sure it'll be okay.
Hi, Pauline. Me and my mate, we need a lift to the airport so we can go get some beers and have a great time in Melbourne.
Hey, Pauline, it's Michaela here. I've tried calling but you haven't responded. I'm not sure if that's because I watched the project and support Waleed. Just wondering if I could grab that taxi that you offered to the airport. So could you give me a call back? That would be fabulous.
We might need a maxi cab. If Pauline can get a van or something, would be great. I don't know. Apparently we're getting dropped off with sincere best wishes and a wave goodbye. That'd be great. Could she make one of those funny little signs, you know, where your name's on there and it gets held up? Because the amount of times I come off a plane and someone's holding a sign, I always look for it being my name. It's never my name. It would just be great if you had Rove. G'day, Pauline. You know, it'd be great. So anyway, there's a lot of us, a lot of different flights. Some of us are international, so we'll have to be 90 minutes before, if that's okay. Trust us, the luggage is fine. So if you could get back to us and let us know when you'll be able to get here, we'll reserve a parking space for you. That'd be great. Okay, thanks very much. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, the nuts are complimentary. Thanks for asking.
Rove and Sam. This is Rove and Sam's Office Survivor. Start work. Do work, end work.
Fly Virgin Australia to Samoa's luxurious Sinalei Reef Resort and Spa to enjoy sun-kissed days and star-filled nights.
Erin, she played a tough game but voted out yesterday. Her chances of making it to the Sinalei Reef Resort and Spa in Samoa, untouched, beautifully preserved island paradise, flying Virgin Australia. That's me making the cutthroat thing across the neck. It's not like, oh, what, she wins a duck as a backup prize? No, guys, you know what that sound means.
We're down to our top three, which is exciting. So, hashtag Team Danny, my favourite one out of all of them. We've got Handsome Jack and Alina.
Alina, who has won the last two immunity challenges back to back.
She's a dark horse, a little sneaky fox. I love her.
But now, immunity means nothing. Again, duck noise. Because we are now down to winner take all. Three are left. One challenge remains. One person will become the sole office survivor and win their way to Samoa. Over to us. Us. So it comes to this, Sam.
Yes, it does.
Three members of the sales team now having to cannibalise each other to be the sole office survivor. Winner takes all. You are off to Samoa. This is your final challenge. Paper. You will hold one ream, a.k.a. stack of paper, above your head. 30 seconds later, another stack gets added. And another, until you have all five on top of you. It is endurance until you drop any of your paper. The moment you do, you are out of this game and your chance of going to Samoa, gone.
Office survivors, with a trip to Samoa on the line, this is your final challenge. Survivors, are you ready?
Three, two, one. This challenge is on. It comes down to this. After weeks of Office Survivor, starting work, doing work, we are about to end work. Two stacks of paper each. Is my voice helpful? Is my voice distracting? What if I did this? Three stacks of paper high. This weight is going to start to hurt. Danny, sussing out the other competition. Elena, eyes closed, focused. Jack, getting slightly distracted, keeping his eye on what everyone else is doing. Will it throw his game off? Four stacks high.
Jack's arms are straight up in the air. He's focused.
Danny's starting to shake. Biggest man in this thing. Could he be the first out? Five stacks high. This goes to the finish. Who's going to Samoa? Elena starting to show it. Jack is focused, but all it takes is one moment of distraction and you can be gone.
Oh, guys, this is so tricky.
Remember, this is you and your chance to get to Samoa on your shoulders, literally. Danny, holding it tight.
You're so
hanging in there, gutting it out. What happens?
Danny.
What happens?
Hashtag Team Danny, my favourite.
You will find out tomorrow. Roven Sam. Australian model and television presenter Jennifer Hawkins joins us this morning to talk about the new season of Australia's Next Top Model. Jennifer was crowned Miss Universe in 2004 and it continued one of the great winning streaks of all time as Earth keeps winning the Miss Universe crown time and time again. Take that, NGC 474 and Alpha Centauri. We're still number one! Woo! Yeah, random planets.
Hello.
Yeah. Jennifer Hawkins.
G'day.
Hello. How you going?
Now, you approve of Sam's new hair colour. You haven't seen him with a new hair colour.
I do. I mean, I've seen it around, but just not like, because obviously, you know, not in person,
to see it face to face, sure.
Yeah, it looks pretty
look,
good.
Look, yeah, I went a little beautiful. Bit lighter. Oh, I like
blondes have more fun, ladies. Is that the case?
Oh, it depends on what mood you're in. But yeah, I guess. Really? It depends on if you want to change or, yeah. What about you, Rove?
I once went black.
Oh,
really?
That would have been awful.
What was that about? What was I doing?
Oh, I don't know.
And then I shaved my head once. That is a thrill. Have you ever shaved your head, Jen Hawkins?
No, I can't say I have.
Do you want to do it now? We've got some clippers here if you're interested.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. What about you, Sam?
Oh, look, you know what? Anything for good content, right? Oh, no. I've changed.
Hey, as
but
a
But we're
model,
both blonde, so maybe you could go blonde.
Okay,
Rose.
Sure.
That's a change.
I'll do that. I'm worried it would, I would do that and then make up a fictitious story about a cab driver robbing me like Ryan Lochte. Because pretty much that was what was responsible for that. It was the dye, the hair dye, the peroxide. Oh. Hey, Jen, as a model, which you are, do you have to get approval? Like if you wanted to cut your hair, if you said, you know what, I'm going to shave my head, guys. Like do you have to check with your bosses and agents and things like that to change your appearance or get a tattoo or shave?
I mean, shaving my head, probably.
Yeah.
But I guess it depends on what company it is and not really.
I mean, because you'd have campaign shots, though, that they'll use for a little while.
I don't know. She's the boss, though.
Yeah.
No, what I mean, I mean, people know you for you. Like, you're kind of a spokesperson rather than a model by this point, you know. So I guess It doesn't really matter what colour your hair is. You would know this, Sam. You're still the same person.
Yeah, exactly.
Now look at you two hitting it off like besties, which hardly surprises me because L Magazine did a mystery box challenge and Jen Hawkins, you were asked this question and you answered it thusly.
The Bachelor or Bachelorette? Bachelorette.
Well.
Correct answer. Well done.
Oh, where do you get this stuff?
Like, we have research tools.
Yeah, Bachelorette.
So did you watch?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. And I watched the American version too. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch the American version.
Who's your pick? Good. Who's your pick for tomorrow? We got Nikki, we got Alex. I don't know if you're following it. Do you care?
I haven't seen
it. That's all right.
That's all right. You're allowed to say it.
Don't
care.
But we're
very excited for Australia's Next Top Model, season 10 starting.
Yeah, season 10 years. Wow.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Now, I did want to ask, though, you know, there has been quite a shift in, I guess, people's expectations of models and, you know, that everyone's quite critical. You know, people are too thin, too big. Has there been a change when you're casting people for the show and ultimately pulling them through each challenge?
Well, I guess it's kind of the same in a way as it was 10 years ago. I guess everybody has their opinion. Every brand has their definition of beauty. So I guess that's what they choose and that's fine. But for the show, you know, when we're doing the audition process, we're there in front of these girls and you can only pick your perception of beauty. So, you know, I love a healthy, athletic girl. You know, and they have to be able to represent a brand and, you know, have a voice and be, you know, articulate and all of those different elements that make a package of a girl. So I guess it just comes down to everyone's preference. That's pretty much how it is. And some companies, you know, they do like that whole skinny vibe and, you know, that's them.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see who makes it through. I do love the show.
I love Next Top Model. I love Next Top Model. I love it. I'm obsessed.
If I may reference the US version, I've learned how to smile through my eyes.
I just start squinting and it gets very confusing.
Here's what you do, Jen. You look down, then you look up. Boom.
Yeah. Is that really what smizing is?
That's what it is. Look, I'll give you some tips. I'll be on the project with you tonight. I'll give you some tips tonight, miss.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
If you need them, I'll show you how to walk the
live
walk.
Live on TV.
You're going to go down, Hawkins. You're going down.
You're going down.
Australia's Next Top Model Season 10 starts September 20 on Foxtel. Can't wait. Jen Hawkins, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Roven Sam. Time to enter the judge-free zone.
Your chance to see Keith Urban on our world famous rooftop. You got to fess up to get there.
Ken in Padstoke, morning.
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Very well. What do you want to get off your chest, Ken?
Alrighty. Well, back in the early days, you know, as you do the old footy trips and that type of thing.
I do know.
And it was semi-professional, so we used to get drug tested. So the night before we were about to go out, you know, get on the cans, a few sherbets. The coach knocks on the door, says, "Boys, in the morning we've got the drug test. So be ready for it. Don't do anything stupid." So I thought I'd be a bit cheeky and do mine the night before. So I found an empty juice bottle.
Yep.
Did the test. Put it in the fridge.
Clever boy.
Thought nothing of it. Went out next morning. Get a knock on the door from the coach. 5 minutes, boys, we're done. So my roommate, who was the captain and also the coach's son, was in the shower. So I've opened up the fridge, had a look. It was gone.
Uh-oh.
And next minute, I had a look on his side table. Gone. He drank it.
Oh!
And then the clincher is, he got out of the shower and said, "Oh, mate, that juice in the fridge, did you really want that? That was a bit tangy, you know? But I think he's right." And to this day, I've never told him. This story's never come out, but this is a huge Keith Urban fan, so I thought if it's ever going to come out, this has got to be it to get it the key.
Oh,
Ken,
good for you, Ken.
You're a legend.
Now, does that stay buried in a footy team? That's the stuff you have printed up on a T-shirt the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the end of the day, it was a big dude and he could kick the crap out of me. So.
Fair enough, Ken. Respect the honesty. Welcome to the zone, mate. Welcome to the zone.
Oh, I love Ken. Rochelle, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Now, what have you done, Rochelle?
So I feel like this is a really good way to clear my conscience.
Oh, goodness.
Last week, I was at work at a shopping centre and I was there all day and I had to go pick up my kids. So as I'm driving out of my car spot, I realised that I forgot to pay for parking. So I drove closer to where the pay station was, and the only spots that were left there, there was 10 disabled parking spots.
No!
Rochelle.
I know. So I thought with 10 spots available, I'll only be like 20 seconds paying for parking. 10 people won't come. So I did park in a disabled spot for about 30 seconds.
Rochelle. I know. Here's me. Okay, Rochelle. I'm making joking little symbols in the studio as you're telling your story because you're saying I need to clear my conscience. And I'm suggesting maybe you've murdered somebody.
But you're like, park in a handicap zone
for 30 seconds. If anything, you went back to pay for your parking. I would have kept driving. Hey, how funny.
I didn't pay for parking.
Rochelle, you're adorable. How hilarious would it have been if 10 actual handicapped people, disabled people turned up?
Talk about
or 11.
Bad timing.
Did you get out of the car and, like, pretend you couldn't walk or see or something?
No, and you know what? I didn't. And then I ran back to the car just because I wanted to be quick. And one disabled person had come and was watching me drive out of that spot.
Judging.
Yeah.
Just going, it's one of them.
Thank
you, Rochelle. I love Rochelle. I think her honesty is adorable, but she's fine. Rochelle, your conscience is clear. You've really done nothing wrong, but actually be a good person to try to come back and pay for your parking.
Yeah. So what are we thinking, Ken?
Ken's mate drank piss. What are you talking about?
Ken,
get
you
no
bloody
piss,
legend.
Literally.
I love it, Ken.
You're going to the rooftop, Ken. Congratulations.
Awesome. You made my wife the most happiest person in the world.
Oh, mate. You've earned it.
We'll see you guys there.
A secret well kept. Yeah, we'll see you there for sure. I won't take a drink off you on the night.
That's fine.
Thank you, Sam Frost, for another delightful podcast.
Thank you, Rove McManus, for being such a chippy little thing.
Look, I put my winning chipper attitude down to our friends at Snooze.
They really are very good at taking out the guesswork of buying a bed.
Yeah, they're so good at helping to identify what type of bed like best suits your needs. I reckon this must be what online dating is like, but with a bed that you're happy to end up with.
I'm not certain it is anything like that.
Well, each to their own, I guess. Anyway, I'm off for a nice romantic dinner with my bed right now.
Don't you mean your wife?
Yeah, my human wife.
Okay, say hello to Taz for me.
I will, and I'm sure Snooze sends her regards too.
I don't think your wife's name is Snooze.
What? Anyway, gotta run. Yoinks!
Wow, it really is amazing what a little Snooze can do.